On your journey through life, you are the hero. There are times, however, when it is beneficial to have an advisor to guide you along your path. Welcome to the Smart Money Simplified Podcast with Brent Mikosh, certified financial planner, certified investment management analyst, and co-founder of MP Advisors LLC. In this podcast, we provide you with financial clarity so that you have the tools to live your best life. Listen in as Brent guides you through creative solutions to various financial problems that business professionals, young adults, and retirees commonly face to make their money work. Now, on to the show.
Hello, and welcome to Smart Money Simplified with Brent Mikosh. If you have not heard the first podcast, last podcast was Brent's inaugural podcast. That's where you got to know a little bit about him and his history and him personally. It was a great podcast, which actually led to this one. I wanted to know, what does it look like if somebody's listening to these podcasts and they decide to make that phone call in and talk to somebody at the office, or they email in, because we're going to give contact information at the end of each podcast. And Brent was good enough to say, yeah, let's do it. So that's what this podcast is all about. Brent, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing fantastic. It is good to be back with you. I'm so thankful that you've decided to put this together. I know that working with different advisors over the years and just also having lots of friends and family that have always not sure what an advisor truly does, one of the biggest hurdles is actually just picking up the phone, because people don't know. Well, what are they going to ask me? What are they going to want to know? Are they going to try to sell me something? Blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing, is that everybody, in my opinion, needs somebody in their life that can help them with their planning, that can help them with their finances, because what you do, you've got advanced education for. I don't. I don't want to do this myself, right? So getting people over that hurdle, I think, is important. So this is what we're going to talk about today. What does it look like to engage you and your team from day one? So let me ask that question right off the bat. If somebody's listening to this podcast and they say, I want to call and talk to Brent, and they call in, what happens?
When someone calls our office, usually it's going to be Taylor that answers the phone. It could be Andy or it could be Caleb, but it's most often going to be Taylor. And we have a lot of people calling for a lot of different reasons. Some people that we do business with personally, and most of the people are people that are doing business with us. Mm-hmm. And she's sort of the gatekeeper. She's the person that's going to ask what the purpose of the call is. And if it turns out that it's someone that's been either referred to us or perhaps someone that heard this podcast, she's going to get them most likely to Kayla after that. Maybe to me, but most likely to Kayla.
Okay. And so what is Kayla going to do?
Kayla and I work together with a lot of clients. Kayla, like me, is also a certified financial planner. And so normally, sometimes we might get a call in from somebody that it's a question. They might have heard this podcast. They might know someone that works with us closely. They might have a one-off financial question that they're just looking maybe for a little bit of advice on. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're happy to answer those questions if we can. And Kayla's a really good person to do that. She's got an excellent depth of knowledge, and she knows her stuff quite a bit as well. And if after that conversation, if it turns out that we need to dig in a little bit deeper with the clients, or they want us to dig in a little bit deeper, then usually that a big discovery meeting will be set up with me and Kayla, or just myself.
Got it. So the discovery meeting is kind of the point there. Before we move on to asking you about the discovery meeting, I want to just say something for the audience. For those that don't know, a CFP, a certified financial planner, that is one of the most robust and highest levels, I would say, of education for a financial advisor. Investopedia is a great website where you can go and find out if you hear an acronym or you hear something on this podcast, or if you hear something in the news that you just don't know what it is. Investopedia is a great site to go and find that out. And if you go look up CFP, Investopedia will tell you that it is a tough and rigorous accreditation. So for both of them to have that is fantastic. So I just wanted the audience to know that before we moved on, because that's no small feat. The CFP exam is brutal.
Yeah, I'm really blessed to have Kayla in here that also has that and has had that training as well, because I do know that questions that I may not be in the office to answer if I'm busy doing something else, mm-hmm. she's got the skill set to answer those questions. So she does a phenomenal job as well.
All right, that's fantastic. So I've called in. I've gotten, you know, I talked to Taylor, and then I'm talking to Kayla, and Kayla's like, yep, this is a good thing. We should have a discovery meeting because of your questions and the things that I presented to her. So now I'm going to meet with you for this discovery meeting. Yep. What am I going to need to bring with me? What am I going to need to know? What are we going to talk?
That's a great question, because I would say that by the time someone's made the call to us or reached out to us, that's a huge step, because I do feel that a lot of people, they might be hesitant to call a financial planner. They don't want to be sold something. They don't necessarily want to tear their lives apart. They don't want to feel like vulnerable. And quite frankly, when you start really laying out in depth what your financial picture looks like, that's a huge point of vulnerability for most people. So the fact that they've gotten as far as to give us a call, we take that really seriously. Mm-hmm. We take that level of trust in us, at least, to reach out and get some answers. We take that very seriously. But the discovery meeting, one thing I'd want anybody listening to know is that first meeting, we are not selling anything. There's no paperwork that is going to be signed. There's no push to do business together in the future. The discovery meeting is really just that. It's us discovering what's going on with this potential client, and also the clients, quite frankly, discovering what it is about us that would either make them choose to want to work with us or not. We're not the mm-hmm. perfect fit for everybody. And so it's a two-way conversation about, you know, what are we trying to accomplish? What is the main, because there's usually one main pain point or one main issue that's driven them to pick up the phone to call our office in the first place. And we want to make sure that we address that. But also, you know, we can get into the type of documentation that we do want to go over during that discovery meeting. But if clients are going to do that, or potential clients, they're making a massive time investment to come in and sort of open the books for us like that. And so we want to make sure that the time they've spent, the energy they've spent to do this is going to be worthwhile for them.
Now, I know that you, just in knowing you and speaking with you even off air, you guys do a great job of making sure the client is taken care of in totality, meaning every aspect of their life financially, whether it be yeah. property that they own, or, you know, maybe they've got kids and grandkids and they want to, you know, secure their future. Maybe they're a small business owner. So there's a lot involved in that. And I think that if anybody were to take a step back and say, what documents would I need to help this team order my life, right? I mean, get me back on track, or get me on in a track that's going to help my kids and my grandkids and generationally, anybody would say there's a lot of stuff that they probably need. So can you kind of go yeah. over some of those things with me and with the audience so that they're aware of what you're looking for?
Yeah, and I would say the first thing is not necessarily even the financial documents. I mean, I know when we first sit down with somebody, there's a lot of key points that I'm getting into before we even start talking about money. You know, what are their goals? What are they trying to achieve? What is their value system? What's important to them? I want to know what some of the best and worst decisions that they've made financially or otherwise are. Who are the key relationships, the stakeholders in their lives that are depending upon them? Mm. Who are the other advisors they work with, their attorney, their CPA? What do they like about that relationship? What don't they like about that relationship? You know, what do they expect from us from a service perspective? Because, you know, we have clients that don't want to hear from us all that much. You know, every six mm-hmm. months, they're comfortable getting a phone call. We go over some things, and they've, particularly pre-COVID, we had some clients that were doing a lot of overseas travel. And they would say to me, Brent, when I'm home, man, just shoot me a text or an email, and that's how I want to deal with you because I'm so wiped out. Now it's a little different in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. But and we have other clients that want to talk to us every week. And so it really depends on where they are. So what they expect from us. And we'll also say what we expect from them as well as clients, because it is a two-way street for us to do the best job that we can on their behalf. You know, there's certain things that we need to know, and there's certain areas that they need to be open with us about. And then finally is what is the, again, back to that main driver, what caused them to pick up the phone in order to come in and sit down with us? And then we dig into the financial stuff. And I would say that, you know, having done this now for 12, 13 years in this end, it's probably about, you know, 70, 80% of the time that we might have during that discovery meeting has nothing to do with money. Because someone can come in and say, here are my investment accounts, what do you think? And I'll say, I don't know. You know, I don't. I have no idea. What are these assets trying to do? What mm-hmm. are they trying to do for your life? You can go from A to B. You want to own U.S. stocks, for example. There's tons of different investment vehicles that you can use to own U.S. stocks. But which one's going to be better for you, for even purely from a psychological standpoint? Some people want to see a lot of individual stock tickers. They want to know the companies they own. Some people don't want to see what's happening in the kitchen. They just want the meal. So perhaps, you know, they don't care as much about that stuff. But so when we get that question a lot, you know, here are my investments, what do you think? And the answer is, I don't know yet because I don't know you.
Got it. That's
and,
a great
and a lot point. Of the, and a lot of the time is being spent on, all right, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish?
All right, so let's talk about that. We'll come yeah. to back to paperwork later. So sure. when you're sitting down with somebody and talking about goals and values, those are the first two things you really said. Goals yeah. and values. What are you asking them? What are you trying to get out of them?
I want to get out of them what is really important to them. And I view goals and values are different things. The goal is what you want, what it is you're trying to accomplish. The value is the driver. That's the why. Why do I want to do this? And those are different. Those goals and values obviously are different for everybody. But I want to know what those key drivers are that's impacting their decisions. Because if we do that, then we can best figure out how to organize those dollars and those resources to line up with what those specific goals are, and also support their value systems. I mean, a lot, if you view money and investments as stored energy, which I do, then you expended a lot of your life energy in order to accumulate these assets. So we better invest them in a way that's going to support what your core values are and what drives you. And so I really want to know what those values are, because quite frankly, just from a, might be getting too granular for the point of this podcast, but there are certain clients I won't invest in certain companies for, because I know it might run contrary to what their value system is. Mm. And there's other clients that I know that, you know what, just make me money. And there's always two sides of that coin. I mean, one person's company or organization they might have a big issue with, and other people just don't feel the same way. I mean, that's a really subjective measure when I say that. I'm not saying that some companies are better than others and from a pure value standpoint, but people's perceptions of those companies can be very different. And quite frankly, I don't want if we're doing individual stocks for clients, I don't want a company to show up in a client's portfolio that I know is going to run, you know, is going to be the antithesis of what it is they believe, and that belief system is what helped them to make that money in the first place. So I want to support that.
Oh yeah, and I appreciate that, because I can tell you from personal experience that we've had family members die of cancer. My grandfather specifically, and he was a decent drinker, if you want to call it that, but he also smoked for a number of years. And my mom absolutely despises anything tobacco. Anything.
Yep.
I mean, it makes her skin crawl. So. That's perfect, because if you were to invest in big tobacco, you know, on her behalf with her money, she would be furious. She would be, you know, livid. So I love the fact that you take that into consideration, and that that's something that you're thinking about on behalf of your clients.
It is, because I don't want to, I can't imagine if someone, you give me a very specific example here, but if someone had a situation like that in their family, my job is to try to make their life simpler. My job is to try to ease their mind. My job is to try to bring them some peace around their finances. And all of a sudden the statement comes in at the beginning of the month. It's like, what? He took my money and did what?
Yeah.
And I want to avoid that at all costs, for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure we're getting into the weeds a little bit. I know that this is really the discovery meeting, but also values, I don't know if I want to call them values change, but and let's just call it what it is. Values do change, and things that you hold dear changes. And so I'm assuming that when we talk in the next podcast about what it looks like to be a client, and I know that you guys are meeting, and you spoke a little bit a moment ago about some of your clients want to meet, you know, twice a year, they want to text, or maybe they want to meet four times a year because of how complex their situation is. But I know that things change, right? Life events happen, and that can change those values. Like having grandkids, that was a huge thing for us. My wife and I, my wife went nuts. She went absolutely bonkers. Most of my retirement's gone now because she spent money on the grandkids, you know.
Yeah,
but those types of things change, and I'm assuming that's what you want your clients to be talking to you about, and even the prospects that are sitting across the desk from you, they need to be open and say, hey, you know, things do change. We need to have that open communication.
Very true. And I truly believe that if I'm doing this business correctly, from the discovery process where we're just getting to know somebody all the way down through once they've been established as a client, and then, you know, and eventually years down the road, I feel like the clients that we work with is part of a big, giant extended family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 or 15% of any given conversation, unless we're dealing with a specific issue, that's different. But in terms of the check-in calls and things like that, 10% of it might be money. You know, it might be, hey, Brent, what do you think about this specific investment or what's going on here? But otherwise, it's about what's happening in their lives, you know, personally, professionally, what's happening with their family members. And those are all the really key things that we want to focus on and spend time on.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, so you've talked about goals and values, and you get to know these folks more on a personal level. I hate to get back to it, but paperwork-wise, everybody's got a junk drawer of some kind. I know I speak for probably 80, 90% of the audience. What are they going to need to kind of wrangle up and get ready for you to have this conversation? Because obviously, even though only 10 to 15% of it is about the money, you've got to be able to base some of your thoughts and decisions off of what they have to present.
100%, and this is usually one of the biggest hurdles for people because it's not fun. I'm not gonna try to sugarcoat it. So what will happen is we've set this discovery meeting. Now you're gonna come. We're either gonna meet by Zoom. You're gonna meet in the office here with us, or you know, some combination of meetings. Usually it will be Kayla or Andy will be sending out an email of all the information that if we get it ahead of time, can make the meeting, that first real discovery meeting together, really productive. Mm-hmm. But in many cases, until you know, someone's had a chance to know me and know what the organization is about, what it is we're trying to do, they don't want to give us this information. You know, the first meeting can be about really getting to know us as well. So they may not provide all this, but we want them to have this information ready during that first meeting so we can address it. The first would be any recent financial statements, you know, whether it's existing retirement accounts, taxable investment accounts, that type of thing. How much cash is in the bank? You know, what is that emergency fund look like? Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about, you know, IRAs and 401ks and things like that, but other employee benefits, you know, do you have group life? Do you have disability? Is there a pension that's out there somewhere? Real estate holdings are normally a very large part of a person's net worth or client's net worth. So we want to know, what's the property they own? Is there a liability? Is there a mortgage attached to that? Long-term care insurance, we want to talk about that. We don't sell property and casualty insurance, but we really spend a lot of time focusing on what that can do to protect you. So what kind of property and casualty coverage do you have? And anything else that may be useful in this conversation, particularly for, you know, smaller business owners or family business mm-hmm. or family businesses, what does a succession plan look like? What happens if something happens to one of the key partners or principals within the company? You know, and I will ask the question, it's uncomfortable, but okay, what happened if, God forbid, the worst thing happened last night? What goes on at that point? Because we want to get an idea of what estate planning, if anything has been put in place at that point, and what that looks like. And yeah, getting all that together, it is daunting. And I know that when, you know, if either Kayla or myself has that initial, you know, phone call to either answer a question or set up a deeper dive, we're going to tell them, hey, it's not really fun to dig through that drawer that you mentioned and get all this stuff together. But I'm a true believer that to get where you want to go, you've got to really have a clear picture on where you are now. I think in the first podcast, the line I used was accept reality. You know, mm-hmm. look at reality today and move forward. And to get the most accurate picture of what reality is today, we got to know the stuff. We got to know what's going on. We got to know where the money is. We got to know who gets what. We got to know where you're protected from an insurance standpoint. We also have to begin to get an idea of where you might be very exposed and what can we do to fill those gaps in. And it's a lot of work. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. And clients, when it's done, they thank us for it. If they've never really gone down that path of gathering all this information, it can be daunting on the front end for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But again, for you to be at your peak performance, if you will, you've got to have all the info. And I think that anybody who's seriously looking at making a change in their life, whether it's changing from one advisor to another or changing from no advisor to an advisor, they're going to realize that very quickly too. So I think that that's a fantastic way to approach it. And I know that you'll do the best with the information they can provide. I'm one of those guys that you'd have to bug constantly and say, hey, you know, let me talk to your wife because she'll get you to do it right. kind of thing. And,
exactly.
Okay, I'll find that info for you. Mm-hmm. But I think we all need that in our lives. That accountability is key. So let me ask you this. One of the things that you mentioned is in this meeting also, you're looking at kind of expressing what your expectations are of them as a client, if they decide to be a client, and also that you're going to tell them what they can expect from you. So let's talk about those two things. What are you expecting from somebody sitting across the desk from you, and then what should they expect from you?
That's a great question in terms of what we expect from clients and what they can expect from us. What we expect from our clients is in understanding that everything that we're doing from an investment standpoint does involve and has a certain degree of risk in it. If I'm telling you to keep cash in the bank, there's risk involved in that too. You're losing some purchasing power. And that's important because I don't want anybody either listening to this or anybody that works with us to think that we're magicians, because we're not. The markets do what the markets do. And our job is to make the best decisions we can within the context of assets that mm-hmm. do move around quite a bit and can be very volatile. So I think the expectations to us are that we do our best to build portfolios that are going to serve them, and they're not tomorrow, but over a longer period of time. So that's really important. The other expectation I think that's that clients should have for us also is that we provide a really high level of service. I think that the when we're dealing with someone's finances, we're dealing with something that's so integral to their life that impacts every aspect of their lives, and they need to know that we care about it as much as they do, and we're focused on it as much as they are. And what's important to me is whenever even we sit down, and this will be more toward our next conversation, but when we sit down and do regular progress meetings or even quick check-in phone calls with clients, my big question is always, what can we be doing better? Are you getting value for your dollar here? Is this relationship working for you? What can we do differently? And we're constantly checking in to see if there are areas that we might have missed something, or we might not have, we might have dropped the ball in terms of, communicating on an ongoing basis with our clients. And that's really, really important, that we're providing the level of service that our clients deserve, for sure. And so I don't know if that answers your question, Eric, but those are two kind of big points there for sure, is that, clients from our standpoint, they're transparent, they're open, they're honest about where they are, they're honest about what their expectations of us are. And from our perspective, it's really just servicing them to the greatest degree that we possibly can, and aligning these financial resources with the goals and the values that are most important for them.
And I think for anybody to consider you their trusted advisor, they have to be pretty doggone open communication wise, right? Yeah. We spoke earlier about, the grandkids that I've got now. But maybe you've got a wedding coming up, or maybe you're thinking about purchasing that vacation home or a boat. Those are the types of things that they should probably really be communicating with you, so that you can help them say, hey, look, okay, is this part of the overall plan, or is this something new? If this is a surprise kind of thing, then let's figure out the best way to make this happen for you in a fiscally responsible way, I would assume.
Yeah, and that's we're getting more into the client engagement side, but all of our planning is really goals based planning.
Yeah.
So it's the target is not the S&P 500 going to go up or down this year. It's what is the goal that I'm trying to accomplish, and when am I going to try to do it? And given what we know, or what we believe we know about the world, what's the probability we're going to meet those goals? So whenever there's a big change in terms of what's occurring in people's lives, or a big something unexpected comes up that's going to demand some of these financial resources, the sooner we know that, the sooner we can align the plan to, again, prioritize those goals that are now most important to clients.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the other thing I would add really quick in terms of, Eric, in terms of an expectation the client should have of us, this, and I keep coming back to this, is we make this simple. And there are times where I can be very guilty. I'm CFP, you mentioned that. I'm also a CMS, a Certified Investment Management Analyst, which means a math geek, for finances, basically. I can get down to the weeds on this stuff, and we can start talking about all this. And I kind of like that and enjoy that. But, some people's eyes will glaze over sometimes. But my job, what I always am trying to bring myself back to, and some clients like doing that, by the way. I mean, they want to dig into the numbers and really drill deep in that. I love doing that. The reason this podcast is Smart Money Simplified is because one of the greatest things I can do is take what some people look at as this foreign language and try to make it in really simple terms, because it's really not that complex. The first podcast, I said, we're not splitting atoms. And I want people to really understand that, and that we can break this down into very, very simple concepts.
Well, I know that we, I kind of asked some questions that kind of started to scratch the surface on our next podcast, but the next podcast really is, okay, so somebody sat down with you, they've gone through the discovery, and it's a good fit for both of you. They're becoming a client. They've decided to work with you and your team. And that's what you're going to cover in the next podcast. So I'm excited to do that with you. I appreciate it.
There's one more step before that happens. I don't want us to wrap up just yet.
Yeah.
So after we've done this discovery meeting, basically now we've gathered information. Now we know what's happening in clients' lives. And we know the resources that are there to support what their goals and their vision for their life is. Then we go back and for our clients that come in, or people that refer to us, we're going to put together a basic plan of attack for them, whether it's with us or somewhere else, because some cases it is. There may be a better team that's better suited for them than what we do in here. And so we will sit down with them after that discovery meeting and lay out, if they'll be working with us in the future, what that investment plan is, what it is, the direction that we would like to take their financial lives to support the rest of their life. But sometimes we're just not the right fit, and that can go both ways for sure. And then we'll try to give them some really key points that they need to address moving forward, whether it's, whether it's with the person that they might be working with currently, or if they're doing it themselves, or if they're looking to go elsewhere for another opinion as well. I'm coming back to that idea when I said, if people are going to dig in and get this much information, I want the time they've spent to do that to be valuable to them. And not every conversation we have leads to someone becoming a client or us working with somebody. But I want them to believe that the time they spent in order to go through this will be valuable, and they can take this information that they've gathered, they can take some suggestions that we might have had as well, and take that back to, again, who they might be working with now or who they might be working with in the future, to at least have some guidance. But if they're going to be working with us, that's when we start talking about now moving the process forward, moving the ball forward. And that, of course, This is the financial services business. It involves some paperwork. Fortunately, 90% of it now is electronic signature. It's a lot easier to get all these documents in place than it ever has been in the past. But that's when all of a sudden we start seeing, you know, documents that need to be signed, assets that need to be moved over here towards our team, and then implementing that plan. And so that's then when we come. Now we're engaged as a client. Once that paperwork's done, once the signatures are have either dried on the paper or have or up in cyberspace electronically, that's when the team gets to work in terms of, you know, onboarding now what were prospects and now have become clients. And that's what I really want to spend a lot of time talking about during that next podcast.
All right. Well, let's do it. I appreciate the time that you spent with us today, and I'm looking forward to that next podcast.
As well, I'm really enjoying these conversations we're having.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, again, Brent, thank you so much for your time. And of course, our last thank you goes to you, listening audience. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Smart Money Simplified podcast with Brent Mikosh. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Brent comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it really easy to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at MP Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Smart Money Simplified Podcast. Have any questions about topics covered during the show? Visit www.smartmoneysimplified.com or give us a call at 602-255-0555. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the hosts and/or guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional financial advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service providers with any questions you may have regarding your individual situation. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA, and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors Incorporated, MP Advisors, LLC, is not a broker/dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.